It's two books before the book of Revelation. And I want you to find that little book of 3 John, if you would, this morning. 3 John. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up high. Our ushers are coming down the aisle, and they'll be glad to put one in your hand. So if we missed you on the way in, they'll be glad to give you one right now. All right, 3 John. Just one chapter. And it's right before the book of Revelation. If somebody came up to you and they said, "I love football. I love football." And then imagine you said to them, "Really? Well, when's the last time you watched a game?" And they said, "Oh, 10 years ago." Somebody comes up to you and says, "Man, I love to grill out. I love food off the grill. I love to grill out." "Oh, yeah? How often do you grill out?" "About once every 5 years." What if somebody came up to you and said, "I love my local church. Man, I love my church. I love it so much. It is the greatest church that you would ever see in your life. And man, do I love my preacher. Oh, I love him." And then somebody says to you, "Oh yeah? Well, how often do you go to church?" And then you say, "Oh, I go on Easter every other year." Would you guys agree with me? Something doesn't add up in those statements. I want you to understand right now, there is a battle raging on this earth. And in your handout, it says there in your handout that there's two opposing sides. God, His desire is for His truth to be proclaimed throughout the entire earth. That's God's desire. That's His heartbeat. God wants to see His truth proclaimed everywhere. Up on the screen, I want you to look at this verse. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the what? So would you all agree with me? God wants His truth proclaimed. Amen? All right. Now, in your handout, it also says there that Satan, his desire is to blind people from God's truth. If you look at the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the god, little g, the god of this world, this world system, this evil world system on place. He's called the god of this world. And the Bible says that he hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you got God, his desire is for his truth to be proclaimed to everybody. He wants everyone to be saved. Then you got Satan, he wants to blind people from the truth of God's word. He wants to quench it. He wants to completely squash the truth of God from going out. So there's this battle raging. Now in your handout is a key statement. And it says this, if God's truth is to be proclaimed throughout the earth, it's going to be through people. God works through people. And it takes a united effort on the part of God's people. It takes teamwork, if you will. Satanic barriers and strongholds have to be brought down, and God's light has to be shined in the darkness if people are going to be saved as God wants them to. Do you remember the ridiculous statements I made a few minutes ago? Let me give you one more. You go up to someone and you say, "Do you love the truth of God? Do you love and do you believe in God's truth? Do you think that people would greatly benefit from hearing the truth of God? Do you think that people in China would benefit if they could somehow hear God's truth?" And then you ask that person that, but then follow up with this question. They say, "Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that I believe in God's truth. I think that people would benefit in hearing it." But then you follow up with this question, "What are you doing to help God's truth get out to others?" Unfortunately, so many of God's people in the church today in America have a consumer mentality. What I mean by that is we want a church that's going to have interesting children's programs for our kids. They're going to have well-equipped nurseries. They're going to have comfortable seats. They're going to have convenient parking. We want to make sure the music is to our liking. We want to make sure we got plenty of teen activities and teen camps for our kids. We want good Bible teaching. And so we get a consumer mentality, and many Americans have become consumers instead of contributors. Contributing, looking at themselves as a contributor to the cause of Christ, of getting the truth out. In this little book of John, 3 John, John writes a letter to a man named Gaius. If you look at verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. This man Gaius was not an apostle. He was not a pastor. He was not, to our knowledge, a leader in the local church. He was just a member of a local church, maybe like you today. But yet Gaius was having a huge impact on the cause of Christ, as we're going to see. Gaius was what I would call, he would be what I would call a team player in God's mission here on earth. You know, when we talk about getting the truth of God out to the world, I want to bring up a little acrostic here that we formulated and that we're going to go over for the next couple weeks, and we're going to add to this each week. But I think as we talk about getting the truth of God out to this world, which is God's heartbeat, I believe that the T would definitely stand for what? Teamwork. It's going to take all of us being team players and doing our part to help get the truth of God out. Now, that's what Gaius was. And so this morning, how can we do that? How can we exercise teamwork? How can we be team players in getting God's Word and God's truth out to China and out to the world? Well, I want you to look in your handout. I want to give you three quick points. Number one, all from 3 John. Number one is this: we must believe in and love truth. You've got to believe in truth and you got to love truth. Now, it's hard for me. Can I have a little bit more mic? It's hard for me to be a contributing team player when either A, I don't understand the particular cause my team is playing for, or B, I don't believe in the particular cause that my team is playing for. I mean, if I've been asked to play out on a football field and help the football team, and either A, I don't even understand the cause. I don't even understand what it's all about. I don't even get it that you're supposed to take the football and you're supposed to move it down the field to a goal line. If I don't understand the whole purpose or cause, I'm not going to be a real good team player. And then secondly, if I don't believe in the cause, if I think, well, this is a stupid game, man, this is ignorant, just everybody hitting each other and everybody, you know, just walloping each other, and man, the poor guy with the ball, he just gets brutalized, you know, and I think, this is stupid. Well, if I don't believe in the cause, I'm not going to be a very good team player, am I? You see, in your handout, it says team players believe in the cause. If you're a team player, it's because you believe in the cause. If you don't believe God's truth, which is this, if you don't believe God's truth or you don't love it, you don't embrace it, guess what? You're not going to be very passionate about getting this out to other people. But on the other hand, it says in your handout there, if God's truth has changed your life, you should be passionate about doing whatever you can to help others to hear it. Now, that's where it all started with this man named Gaius. Would you look with me at verse 3? It says here, John writes to Gaius. He says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is where? In thee." So he had received God's truth. But then, look, "even as thou what? Walkest in the truth." So not only did he receive it, but he was walking in it daily. The truth of God had impacted this man's life, his daily life. Now let me ask you a question. Has God's truth impacted your life? Now I'm just asking. Has God's truth made a difference in your life? Where would you be if it wasn't for God's truth? Where would you be if God wouldn't have saved you today? You sure wouldn't be here looking at me, would you? If you know, has God's truth made a difference in your marital relationship? Has God's truth made a difference in your children? Has God's truth made a difference in your outlook? Has God's truth made a difference in the way you live and conduct your daily life? Now look, folks, if it's impacted your life, if God's truth, as you've learned it here at Crossroads and as you've accepted Christ, If God's truth has made changes in your life, did you know it'll do the same thing for people in China? Did you know God's truth will do the same thing for people in Zambia, Africa, and Jordan, and these places that we're going to hear about, Dominican Republic, over the next few weeks? Did you know it'll do the same thing for them, those people, as it's done for you? In your handout, look at the bottom, John 8:32. Jesus said, "And ye shall," underline that word, "know." "And ye shall know the truth." That means somebody has to go tell them. You can't know something until you're taught it. So he says, "Ye shall know the truth," and then notice, "the truth shall make you" what? "Free." Y'all believe that? Do you think it'll do that for people in China? Now, how are people going to hear God's truth unless God's people believe in it? And then let me just go ahead and say this. We not only say we believe in it, we not only say we believe in this, that it changes lives, but we put our time and money where our mouth is. Now, let me let you in on a little reality check here. These folks want to go to China. And you know what? They're not going to get there free. The airplane companies aren't going to say, "Oh, you're a missionary? You can have your flights free." And when they get there, "Oh, you're a missionary? You know what? The Chinese government wants to pay for your housing." That ain't going to happen. You know, it's going to take God's people putting our time, our money where our mouth is and getting behind people like this. Now, you know, they say that the average American spends more on pet food than they give to missions, outreach. You know, and if that's true, then if the average American spends more on pet food than they give to missions in a month, or they spend more on cable TV than they give to missions outreach, you know, that could only mean one of two things. It either means, number one, the church is full of people who have never really even believed the truth. They've never really been saved and trusted Christ. Or number two, the church is full of believers who love themselves more than they love God's truth. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, Paul said, let's bring it up on the screen. I'm going to 2 Timothy, Debbie, actually. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the next one. In the last days, Paul said, people would be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what? Pleasures, more than lovers of God. In other words, people would rather feed their own pleasures. They'd rather drop $50 at the movie theater than give it to a missionary. They'd rather drop $100 at an amusement park than they would give to missions. We love pleasures more than we are lovers of God, more than we love and embrace truth. Now, that's a heart problem, you know, and it's something I know that people struggle with. We all struggle with. But God has to bring conviction to our hearts, you know, and God has to convince us that, you know what, I got to be a team player for God's cause. You know, I got to be a team player. I got to step up to the plate, and I got to do my part. This man Gaius stepped up to the plate. This man Gaius, who's just a church member, he's not a pastor, he's not an apostle, he's a church member. And this man Gaius, he loved the truth of God. He embraced the truth of God. It meant something to the man. And because the truth of God meant something to him, well, that brings us to our next point. And this is what it did to Gaius. Number two, our love for truth should lead to tangible action. You see, if I love and embrace truth, and I believe it's changed my life and it'll change others, then that leads me to tangible action. Hey, and you know, people are passionate about different things, I know that. But if a person is passionate about a certain cause, think with me. If a person is passionate about a certain cause, what will they do, most likely? What's something they would do? If you believe in a cause, what are you going to do? Okay, you're going to support it, maybe give money to it. Well, but that's not the only way. What's another way you support something you believe in? Okay, good. You volunteer your time to help in the cause. Good. You talk to other people about it, right? You talk it up to others. Why? Your love and your passion. It just leads to tangible action. You don't have to be coerced. You don't have to be strong-armed. You just believe in it. So you get behind it. Gaius was real passionate about God's truth. So you know what that resulted in? This man was tangibly involved in helping to get the truth out to other people. Look with me at verse 5. I'll show it to you. Verse 5. Here John writes to him. He says, "Beloved," writing to Gaius, "thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sword, thou shalt do well." Let me explain. Gaius was hospitable and he was a generous man that constantly was helping what we would call missionaries. Now, the Bible here doesn't use that term, but we use that term for what they're doing. These are people. Some of them John knew. They were brethren. Gaius. Some of them Gaius knew. He calls them brethren. Some of the people Gaius helped were strangers. He didn't know them, but yet he knew they were trying to disseminate God's truth. So he gets behind them and he helps them. And he's tangibly helping these missionaries to get where they needed to go. And that's what he means in verse 6 when he talks about bringing them forward on their journey. You see, that's what we're talking about here. And this wasn't something that Gaius did occasionally. This was something, according to verse 5, that he did faithfully. He was tangibly involved in helping the cause. These itinerant preachers, obviously they're Jewish, because look at verse 7. It says, because that for his name's sake they went forth. In other words, for the name of Jesus, these people were going forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. These Jewish itinerant preachers or missionaries, they're going around and they're witnessing for Christ. Now get the picture. They would not take money from the Gentiles, but rather they totally trusted God to meet their needs through their Jewish brethren who love the truth of God. Now, that reminds me of missionaries today. Missionaries like what you saw this morning, the Branscom family. I want you to know that these missionaries, they are really trusting God to meet their needs through like-minded believers who love the truth of God and value the truth of God. They're not out there trying to get, you know, secular businesses and secular organizations to try to support their cause. They're going to local churches like ours. And they're trying to get like-minded believers who love truth and embrace truth to get behind it and to support what they're doing, like Gaius did for these people. Gaius was a man who stood in the gap and he did all that he could to try to help these missionaries. And in your handout, it says Gaius wasn't all talk, he was action. He was a charitable man who obviously would open up his home to these missionaries. He'd open up his home. And he would have them in. He would help them out financially. Now look up here. He wanted to help these missionaries to get where they needed to go. He wanted to help them to do what they needed to do. John said that these brethren, these strangers that are out there for his name's sake, they're preaching Jesus. He said, you bring them forward on their journey. In other words, you're helping them to move forward. You're helping them to get where they need to go. You're helping them, Gaius, to do what they need to do. How applicable is that today? I mean, that's why we have Missions Emphasis Month. That's why we have these families, these four families that you can read about here in this thing you received today. That's why we have them come before you and share their heart and share their burden with you. It's because we hope that your love for truth will lead to tangible action. And you'll say, you know, I need to help Brother Branscom get to China so those people can hear the truth of God as I've gotten to hear the truth of God. I need to help Brother Jalowick get to Zambia so those folks can hear the truth of God as I've had the opportunity to hear the truth of God. You see, as we love and embrace truth and as it changes our life, we believe in the cause, so therefore that leads to tangible action. Now we see this with Gaius. But then there's one more point, and I want you to get this third point. Number three, your action equals worldwide impact. I want you to imagine for a moment with me in your mind. I want you to go with me in your mind to China. Imagine yourself in China. And you're in a meeting, and you're a Chinese person who has heard the truth of God, and it's changed your life. And Adam Branscom stands up before the group, and he says to those folks in China whose lives have been changed through the truth that Adam shared with them, he So let me tell you about this group of people in Daytona Beach. Let me tell you about these folks. It's a church called Crossroads. And you know, this church has encouraged us, and they helped us on our journey to get where we are right now. And that group of people, they are helping, they have helped us to be here so that we can share the truth of God with you. That's what's going on here in our text. John, the apostle John who's writing this, he's far away geographically from Gaius. But yet these missionaries that Gaius had helped, they testified of Gaius, and John had heard about it. Look down with me again at verse 6. Here he said, well, let's go to verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully, John said, whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring on their journey after a godly sword, thou shalt do well. I want you to look what he says in verse 8. He says, we, notice the plural pronoun, it's teamwork. We therefore ought to receive such, talking about these preachers, these missionaries. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the what? Truth. We. In your handout it says every believer can be a fellow helper to the truth. It is a team effort. The word fellow helper is an interesting word. If you look that up, the Greek word there for fellow helper is the word that we get the English word synergy. It means two things working together that accomplish more than if they were working individually. In receiving and helping these missionaries who were preaching the truth, Gaius was helping the truth itself. Did you notice that? It says in your handout, when you help a missionary to get out God's truth, you are literally helping the truth itself. You are a co-worker with the truth of God. You are a fellow helper to the truth. God loves that. What are you doing? Listen, what are you doing to be a fellow helper to the truth? What are you doing to contribute to the maintenance and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, eternity is going to reveal how we've done and what we've done. You know, eternity is going to reveal it. So the time to evaluate's now. Because here's why. We said it begins with loving and embracing the truth. How it's changed your life. So you value the truth. So you know what that leads you to do? Tangible action. You want to help get the truth out. You want to be a contributor. But then number three, your action equals worldwide impact. In your handout, it says this. Your action not only has worldwide impact now, but it has heavenly impact throughout all eternity. I want you to look with me at the screen at a picture. And this was on the video presentation that you saw a few minutes ago. But if you look at the young man there, center, right in the center of the picture with a black shirt on. His name, Adam, how's that pronounced? Jiao. Okay. Jiao. That young man, Jiao, Adam, these are college students in China. Adam, the year he was over there, he was doing a Bible study, and these four guys were coming. After a few weeks of Bible study, that young man, Jiao, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Adam said that as they were riding down the elevator, after he had trusted Christ, as they're riding down the elevator, in broken English, you know what he told Adam? Thank you for giving me your God. Thank you for giving me your God. That's what we're all working together to see. Souls impacted. Souls in heaven. Because you and me, Adam, we are all team players and we're fellow helpers to the truth. Remember, fellow helper means two things accomplishing more together than they could individually. Because we're united in our effort, we're making an impact. What are you doing to... Remember the thing, question I asked at the beginning? You believe in the truth? Amen. You believe the truth could change lives in China? Amen. You believe the truth of God can make a difference in lives? Amen. What are you doing to help? Oh, me. Amen goes to oh, me sometimes, doesn't it? And that's okay. That's okay. Because you can change and you can say, you know what? I really haven't done. I haven't been a team player. I haven't really been doing all I could do to help, to be a team player. But you can turn that around. You know? And I'm not here to just guilt trip you. You know, that's not at all what I want to do. What I want to do is challenge you. Because here's the deal. When you get to heaven, you think you'll be glad that you were a contributor to the truth of God. Think you'll be glad you were a fellow helper. Absolutely. This is a positive thing. This is an opportunity for you to be a fellow helper to the truth, like Gaius was. Gaius was just a normal everyday guy, put his pants on just like us guys. But he's a fellow helper too, so much to the point that John writes a letter to this guy, commends him. Says, man, people are talking about you. I'm hearing missionaries, and they're standing before the church where I'm at, talking about you and everything you've done to help them on their journey. Let's be fellow helpers to the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.